Okay. So Paul's saying that if an angel from heaven were to say anything other than what he's saying, it would be a curse. And that's a very, it's a very bold statement. You know, it's something that he seems to have a lot of confidence in. So maybe today we'll talk about why he's so confident in his answer. And let's read verse 9. And verse 9 says, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So, in case you didn't hear it the first time, he's saying it again. He's not, this is a very bold statement, but he's not backing up on it. He's doubling down on it. He's saying, yeah, if anyone preaches anything other than what I preached to you, let it be a curse. Or anything contrary to what I preach to you, let it be a curse. So he just seems to be very confident in what he's saying. And we're trying to figure out, where is this confidence coming from? Why is he so sure in the message that he's preached to these people, you know, to the Galatians? And it's profound how he not only is it a bold statement, but he doubles down on it. He says it twice. He says it in verse 8 and verse 9. If anyone else preaches something contrary to what I said, it would be a curse. So verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So, if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. So he's saying here that, you know, when he goes to preach, when he goes to say things, he's not up there to, you know, appeal to a certain group or a certain people, or to maybe even try to gain favor with the people. He's not there like a public speaker or like an inspirational speaker. He's not trying to get you riled up. He's going there to tell the word. And that's why sometimes the ministers sometimes have to say things that are uncomfortable for people to hear. Because a true minister of the gospel is not trying to please men. They're trying to please God. And you please God by living and telling the truth, even though, you know, when it might hurt someone's feelings or might make someone uncomfortable. Because once people try to please a man or please, you know, the people or the group, you know, they cease to be servants of God. They're no longer serving God, but they're either serving the people or they're serving their own interests, or sometimes people... Unfortunately, a lot of places, religion is a business more so than it is something that people believe. It's just something to get people in. And I work for a moving company, and one of my clients happened to be a minister, so-called. But they say they find, he helps people find their truth. And that's something it's an odd thing to say, because it's like, why is it their truth? Why isn't it the truth? Where's the truth at? So sometimes you get things, a situation like that, where you see someone is preaching, but they're really trying to please men more than they're trying to please God. They're trying to, you know, I'm not saying that particular person was, but some people will just say things to promote, you know, so they can get money and get more tithes, or even though the prosperity gospel, where they say, oh, the more money you give and the more money you, there's the more money you make, you know, and it's really so they can get more money in tithes so that they can be, you know, prosperous. And it's not the truth. It's not the word. It's not to please God. It's to please men, or to say something that sounds good to people. But true ministers of the gospel have to please Christ. They have to be servants of Christ, because once they try to please men, they will no longer be the servants of Christ. So, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we see here that the message that Paul is giving, the way he's preaching, what he's bringing forth to the people, it's not that he was taught it. It's not that, you know, it was given to him, that it was, you know, something that he obtained, but it was, he's saying that his confidence in what he's preaching is because his message was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said he wasn't taught it. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't received of man, but it's by the revelation of Jesus Christ that he brings this message forth. And that's where his confidence is in. It's in the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk today a little bit about, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read a few quotes. So the first quote is from the message, earnestly contend from the faith. And in earnestly contend from the faith, Brother Branham is saying, Paul was down there in the natural realm with his PhD. See, he didn't know he had an intellectual faith, but he didn't have a divine faith. There's quite a difference in me having an intellectual faith than a divine faith. There's where you, my Baptist friends, fail to go on. You get the intellectual faith by that, but it must be a divine revelation of Jesus Christ. You that take sin out of the heart, intellectual faith is not enough. That's all right, but it only brings you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth, regeneration, making a new creature. So even here in this quote, Brother Branham is saying, the only way to take sin out of your heart is by a divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And just having intellectual faith isn't enough. Just knowing this and knowing that, but it has to be personally revealed to you. And that's what takes sin out of you, is when the revelation of Jesus Christ is in your heart and you receive it personally. And that's what brings the Holy Spirit. Now, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he says, that's all right, but intellectual faith is all right, but it only brings you to the Holy Spirit. But what the Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth. So there's a big difference in between being baptized with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit living in you. You know, and Brother Branham said you can be baptized, you know, of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and still go to hell. But if the Spirit, if what the Holy Ghost is living in you, then your soul is sealed and you'll be redeemed. But you have to have it in you. You can't just come to it. It has to, you know, you have to become one with it. So it's like the scripture says, like the rain, you know, will fall on everyone. Everyone will get wet, but only certain people will grow from it. For the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But once the revelation is in you, then that's when it's made real to you. So the next quote is from it's from Revelation. Expectation. The sermon Expectation. Brother Branham says, Who do you say, you know, the Son of the Living God is? The Catholic says that it was built upon Peter. The Protestant said it was built upon Christ. Neither one. Jesus didn't say that. He said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed it. And upon this rock I will build my church. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Then in Revelation, Book of Symbols, oh my, if we could just go into it right now. Look, when is the time at hand? When the revelation of Jesus Christ has been revealed to the body of Christ. And Christ has been revealed, not dead, but alive in his church, doing the same things he did, the same ministry, the same gospel, the same sign, the resurrection, when he's revealed by his angel into the church, then the time is at hand. So it's when God is being revealed to us, and it's similar to what we talked when we read over Psalms, you know, and it talks about seeing the face of God and what that means, and you can even in a way think of the seals that way, as you know, God is being revealed to us, and as we, you know, in the earlier church ages they could see him maybe far away, but as the ages go on, you know, and the book is being opened and the seals are open, we're walking and getting closer to God, and then his face is becoming more clear to us as time goes on, and more things are being revealed to us, and we can see everything more clearly than, you know, maybe they could in the earlier church ages. So it's like throughout time, it's like God is here, and ever since the garden, ever since the separation, it's like God is here and man is here, and throughout the ages we're just coming closer and closer together, until we, you know, meet in the middle and finally become one with Christ. So it's just the more the ages go on, the closer and closer, you know, we can get to God, until we'll just be together again like we were in the garden. But the closer we get, the more clearly we can see his face, the more clearly we can see everything, and the more questions we can ask him, the more we can hear from him, you know, the more we can get to know about God. So it's imperative that we take advantage of the time that we're in, that we're where so much of the Word is revealed to us, you know, that we should take full advantage of the whole Word, and the fact that we have, you know, all the seals are open, and that we can really study this Word and read everything and have all the mysteries unveiled to us. So don't forget to study, because that's very important. Now, in another sermon was Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. Brother Branham says, yeah, we all go to church, but there is some has got life. That's the ones got the revelation of Jesus Christ in their heart. Not by shaking, jumping, not by joining church, but the revelation. God has revealed him. So, there's a difference, like what he's saying here, there's a difference between going to church and having life in you. Now, people can go to church, but having life in you is an entirely different thing. Same with being baptized and having the Holy Spirit in you. Completely different things. You know, and it's through revelation and having knowledge and wisdom that he gives you life. And it can't just be like it said before, the earlier quote said, it can't just be intellectual wisdom and knowledge. It has to be a divine revelation. And that's what the gifts are that we talked about when we read Corinthians, is that the wisdom and knowledge is given to us is by God. It's divine wisdom and knowledge. It's not just our own, you know, understanding. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but it says, lean unto, you know, God. And God will give you the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding to understand his word. So it has to be a divine revelation. And, you know, whenever something in the world is revealed to you, whenever you get a revelation, whenever you catch something, whenever something is open to you, that is God himself revealing it to you. Because as we've read before, You can't even say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Ghost revealing it to you. Just for you to say that Jesus is Lord and to truly believe that is the Holy Ghost. So without that, you can't even, like, the most basic truth, Jesus is Lord. So you can't even, you know, realize that and come to that revelation without it being of the Holy Ghost. So it's important to remember that, and remember that, you know, we need that revelation, because without that revelation, you know, we're not going to have a true experience or get as close to God as we possibly can. And you need to have, and it's by the Holy Ghost that the wisdom and knowledge is revealed to us. So now let's turn to Matthew 16, verse 13. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So, you know, obviously this is a very contentious time, and Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? And they're saying, well, some people say this, some people say that. And even today we have a lot of different voices, sort of uncertain sounds, a lot of different, you know, influences saying different opinions and beliefs about Jesus and who he was and what he did. And, you know, some say he was one part of a trinity. Some say he was maybe just the son of a union between Joseph and Mary. And some say, you know, maybe he was just a man, or, you know, just a good teacher maybe. Maybe even the Jews, they don't believe that he was, you know, God in flesh. They just believe he was maybe a good teacher or had some good ideas. Or, you know, or like in the Bible days, they're saying here, some say he's just a prophet, or he's John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, whoever he is. They're just saying, oh, he's just a teacher, a good prophet, you know, a preacher, whatever he is. But he's asking the disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? In verse 15, he says that. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So amidst all the ideas and all the differences of opinions and thoughts, you know, he's asking, who do you say that he is? Even in today's age, of all the different people who are saying different things about Jesus, who do you say he is? It's up to you to say, who do you say he is? Not just what everyone else is saying. You know, it isn't not what your parents or not what your pastor says or not what your friends say, but who do you personally say that he is? That's the question you need to answer for yourself. In verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So the correct revelation of Jesus Christ is revealed to us by our Father in heaven. Or in other words, Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So it's essentially the revelation of Jesus Christ comes from Jesus himself revealing himself to you. That's why when you say Jesus is Lord, that comes from Jesus. That comes from the Holy Ghost telling you that and revealing that to you. So who better to, you know, reveal a person than themselves, you know? If I wanted to know about Thomas, you know, I could ask Brother Richard, I could ask Sister Anna, I could ask Levi, I could ask you guys. But it'd be better for me to just ask Thomas about what he likes, you know. I might say, what's Thomas' favorite color? And they might say green. What's your favorite color, Thomas?
Blue.
Blue. So someone else could be wrong. Someone else could say a different answer. Someone else could say, well, Thomas loves cranberries. And Thomas is like, what? Yeah, see? Look at his face. He's like, I don't like cranberries.
Or he maybe does like Pokemon, though.
Pokemon, okay. But I wouldn't know that unless, you know, I could find out some things from other people, but it's better for me to just go to Thomas and ask him himself. Then I know for sure that's what Thomas is really thinking. And that's what he really likes. And his favorite color really is blue and not green. And maybe he likes Pokemon instead of cranberries. But the same is with the word. It's God himself revealing it to us. You know, that's why you can't rely on other people. That's why you can't rely on, well, who do men say that I am? Oh, Elias, John the Baptist, Jeremiah. Who do you say that I am? And how do you even find out who Jesus is? And it's through Jesus himself revealing himself unto you. You know, so that's the best way to find out who Jesus is to go right to the source and just figure out who he is and ask him who he is and ask him questions and read his word and have it revealed unto you is to go to the source and go to Jesus himself. And Jesus himself is revealing himself unto us, you know. And like he says in verse 17, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. It's not just the people who are saying things. Because if it was on people, we would just be here and there. And, you know, like the Bible says, carried away by every wind of doctrine. You know, just whatever wind, whatever goes, whatever blows, we just follow that. And we're just a leaf in the wind. And whatever people are saying, we just go there. And then someone else says something here. And then we just go there. And someone else says something here. And we're just going back and forth. But once we have God himself reveal himself to us, that is when we have a solid rock. Because even it says in verse 18 says, and I say also unto thou that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. So that's the rock. That's the solid rock. That's the foundation that we have. Is that the personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you is our foundation. And that's where we reside. And that's where we, you know, find our strength. And that's how we know that we know that we know that we know what we believe and that we've had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's how we know for sure. So, like we said, the rock of the church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, in your life. You know, and you may go to church where, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ is preached, and I believe we do. But you still need to have your own personal experience, your own personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Because you yourself can't rely on what others say. You need to have your own revelation. And maybe I'll ask you guys this. How do you know that, you know, your own personal revelation of Jesus Christ is correct? Even when you have your own personal revelation, how do you know it's correct? Anyone have an answer?
Does God reveal it to you?
That's right, but how do you know that? How do you know it's of God? Because if I'm saying this, I'm saying this, and someone else is saying this, yeah, how do we come in the middle? Say again?
Check it with the word.
Exactly. You check it with the word. Check it with, if it lines up with the Bible, if it lines up with the word, that's how you know that that is the correct revelation of Jesus Christ. If I say, well, God revealed to me that I'm supposed to be a millionaire, I'm supposed to have five wives. And someone else says, that's not the revelation of God. And it's like, well, how do we prove that? Well, we need to go back to the word. You know, the word says, and the word is against adultery. The word says, it's hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's many other scriptures that we could go on about, but we need to come to the word. And that's why the Bible is our absolute. And that's kind of what I want to talk about maybe next time when I get back from Nicaragua. But the Bible is our absolute. We have to take everything we believe, everything we say, everything that's revealed to us, we take it back to the Bible. If something's revealed to you and you check the Bible and it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it's not of God. You might say, well, God revealed this to me. And someone might say, I'm sure maybe some of you heard that, oh, God revealed to me that you're going to be my wife or husband in a dream or this and that. And to see if that lines up with the word. And we can't just, you know, say things like that or say that, you know, or just to say different things. We need to bring it back to the word. And what does the word say about that? And what does this and that say? So that's why we need the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be in his word. And that's the same way we know that Brother Branham was a last day messenger, because everything he taught, it lines up exactly with the word. Brother Branham, that's why you always see here that Brother Branham and the word are one and the same. They're not going to deviate. Brother Branham can't say something contrary to the word, you know, because he was the last day messenger. So whenever Brother Branham is teaching something, he always goes back to the word. He doesn't just say his own ideas. You know, there's a lot of people, maybe, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but some of the churches, you go there and they're just saying things. And they might read a verse, you know, or two, but the rest of it is just their opinions, and they're saying stuff, and then maybe it sounds good, and maybe they're like trying to be an inspirational, motivational speaker, but it's not lining up with the word. So at that point, you know, they're off on their own track, and they've you know, denominated, and they're off of the word. But Brother Branham was always on the word, and he was always, you know, sticking to the word, sticking to the Bible, sticking to, you know, this book as his absolute. So I would encourage you to, you know, keep reading your Bible and keep studying the word, and continue to get more of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and get your own personal revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's what's really going to carry you, and that's what's going to, even as we read in Psalm 27, that's what's going to sanctify you and deliver you from all things. So God bless you. You're dismissed.